And now we come to the gospel. And this might shock you. This kingship gospel is Jesus exercising his kingship on the cross and telling that criminal, you'll be with me. His first royal adjudication on the cross. Our king is a crucified king. He still bears the marks of his crucifixion in his hands and feet and side. He's proud of them because he loves us that much. And he wants us to see how much he loves us. So, the people stayed there watching. Huh? They didn't know what else to do. Mary was there, you see. Estiki holaos theorum, theoron. And the crowd stood there looking on, watching. They didn't know what else to do. But the leaders, they jeered at him with the words, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is Christ, if he is the Messiah, the Christ of God, the chosen one, let him come down himself. And the soldiers mocked him too. They didn't know what they were doing. It was just another guy they were killing. Coming up to him, offering him vinegar and saying, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. They're doing that because he's a Jew and they hate Jews. But the others are doing it because they hate him. And he's hanging there in pain and forgiving them. You see? Now above him there was an inscription. This is the king of the Jews. What irony. What is the charge against this criminal? He's the king of the Jews. What irony. And when the Pharisees said, no, say he said he was the king of the Jews. No. What I've written, I've written. He is the king of the Jews. Vasilev ton Judeon. And he is. Is that why he should be crucified? No. That's why he should be adored. And you see what this irony, this, and it's powerful, especially in Luke, huh? In all of them, but particularly in John, in a way. The soldiers mocked him, coming up to him, offering him vinegar and saying, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. And above him there was an inscription that read, this is the king of the Jews. What a gospel to put for this, cycle C celebration of the kingship of Christ. This is where he earned his kingship, I guess. He revealed his kingship. What kind of a king have you got? I have a king, though he's infinitely majestic, holy, died for me to get me out of darkness. He willingly died for me. And that's his claim to kingship. He's king because he's creator of the universe. But he came among us to have a human kingship. And he didn't come, you see, with a great enthronement ceremony and everybody watching on TV. He came crucified as a criminal. So we should understand that his kingship is one of love. And if we want to be princes, princesses in that kingdom, we have to lay down our lives for each other. And we have to lay down our lives in witness to him if it comes to that. Then we will reign with him forever. You see? And so, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. That's the soldiers, you know. Above him there was an inscription that read, this is the king of the Jews. Now Luke does not make any more of that. You remember John says that the leaders go to Pilate and say, you don't write the king of the Jews, write he said he was the king of the Jews. And Pilate said, what I've written, I've written. You're not going to get me to budge. And whether he's trying to stick it to them or whether he really knows how malevolent they are, we don't know. Nobody knows. What would pass in the mind of a pilot? Who knows? Now, above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." There it is. Now, you can make it mockery. There's your king, crucified criminal. Or, if you have eyes to see, you see, there is your king, dying in an act of love to bring you back to him for all eternity. You know, many years ago now, maybe 30, I guess, it was Christmas time, summertime, and I was on the beach down at Nag's Head or someplace, and I was just sitting there kind of praying, and I heard the Lord, the Father, say to me, "I want you to ask yourself what happened when that man died." So I set out on a pilgrimage, a study, reflection, prayer pilgrimage. What happened when that man died? The weight of sin was lifted from this world. Forgiveness for sin is made available to every single human being. And those of us, the lucky ones, the fortunate ones, were baptized into his death so that we can live his life now and forever. And what's the one thing he asked that we do? Spread it. Tell everybody. Bring everybody to this baptism, to this faith, to this love, to this share in divine life. Now. And so, you see, so then the criminals start. One of the criminals reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Messiah, the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, because the punishment for what they did is crucifixion, which is an incredibly humiliating, painful death. You have pain in every part of your body, and you die of asphyxiation. You keep trying to lift yourself up on your feet so that your diaphragm is not being pinched, and you can only stand so much pain, and you let it down again, and then you just die. Mors crudelissima, I think Cicero called it. So we have been, but he has done nothing criminal. And then, look at this act of faith, this crucified fellow next to me. And he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I know that they're making fun of you, but I know you are the king." What a powerful move of the Holy Spirit. And so he turns to a man crucified with him and says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom. You are the king." So Jesus says, "Kingdom." You see why this is picked for the feast of Christ the King? You see? He said to him, "Amen, I say to him, today you will be with me in paradise. You've asked for that, and I give it." Now this is the crucified one already giving eternal life, eternal paradise to somebody. And then he dies. But this is the king, you see? This is the son of David who's now a divine king. So one of the, fruits of David's body turns out to be hypostatically united with the divinity. He is the Word of God incarnate. And so with perfect authority, though he's hanging there in agony as a crucified criminal, as king, he can say to this man, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." You know, that's why we should say that to Jesus a lot. "Remember me now that you're in your kingdom, or when you come into your kingdom. Bring me with you, Lord. Forgive me my sins. Let me have the grace to serve you with my whole heart and soul. Tell others about you. Care for you and the poor. Care for those who don't know you. Let me be a real subject of your kingdom now. And so when I die, I will go and have a place around your throne. because you are the king. This is the day. And this is what we celebrate, you see, as we get to the end of this reliving of the whole plan of salvation, which is the liturgical year. We're now at the end of it, in one sense. The resurrection begins a whole new order of being. Remember me when you come. And that's why, you see, the monks, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, be merciful to me, a sinner. They take the publican's prayer and they bring it here to the cross. And they say that prayer over and over again. It's just part of the rhythm of their breathing, 3,000, 5,000 times a day. This touch with Jesus. Do you see how that fits with what we talked about, mortifying the passions? The very first thing we did in this part, you see? You want to die to those drives? Call on Jesus, the King, the Omnipotent One. Please, and remember me when you come into your kingdom. Or, as that other fellow, that tax collector said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all you have to do, is go to God and realize what you've done and the suffering you have caused to God and be sorry. And it's over. It's over. And if you sin, you can go back and get forgiven again. Who would ever think of God like that? But you see how important it is then when we're talking about God to mediate God and not our own emotions and our own hang-ups and our own... Mediate God and learn from God and listen to God. When we're talking about Him, we're talking about the living, eternal Son of God who forgave those who killed Him and promised this criminal that He would be with him forever in paradise. That's our Lord. That's who He is. And that's why, you see, we're so proud that He's our King. We're so proud that He's our ruler, He's our King. Not the president or the prime minister or whatever. Jesus Christ is our King for all eternity. And that's why on this feast that we celebrate, as we get ready now to relive the whole mystery, next week is the first Sunday in Advent, and we begin the waiting period all over again, living the whole rhythm of salvation from waiting for Him to being joined to Him and going to paradise with Him. That's the whole year. And that's why I say, you see, the church is not in time. It takes time into itself and makes time serve the mystery of our salvation. Amen.